And so I've been praying about what could we do. Do you want to use this mic or this mic? This mic? What could we do to really encourage our church, the people in our church, to grow in their faith? And the Lord laid it on my heart that we need to hear from our men in our church. And so for the rest of this month, we are going to be having men from our church preaching, and maybe a few other people, I don't know, but mostly from our church preaching the word, sharing a 10 to 15 minute devotional, and we'll probably have two men each week. And so Richard's going to come and share with us right now, and then here in a little bit, Gaylord's going to come and share with us as well. And so I'm very excited to see how God is going to use this to encourage the body here. I'm also very excited to see what the Lord has laid on Richard's heart. Richard has a background in the, remind me, what church? Assemblies of God, thank you. Assemblies of God, and he was a pastor there for several years, and he's traveled the world, and so he has a depth of knowledge to speak from. And so Richard, please come and share.
Today we're celebrating Palm Sunday, as the scripture was read earlier about Jesus riding into his triumphant entry into Jerusalem on the back of the donkey. And if you could just imagine they knew Jesus was coming. And there was all this commotion, and everybody was trying to see what was happening. And as Jesus rode on the donkey, people were laying their cloaks down on the ground for the donkey to ride on. They were pulling palm branches from the trees, laying them on the ground. And all these adults and all these children were pressing in, trying to see Jesus, trying to see what was happening. And some were saying, the priests were saying, you know, who is this? And some people were saying Jesus, others saying the Lord Almighty, and both were right. Psalms 24 is known as the triumphant entry or psalm, entry of the king. And let me read from Psalms 24. The earth is the Lord, and all its fullness, the world and those who dwelt therein, for he is founded upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? Who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully? But the people were as they were on the first Palm Sunday, they were saying, the rabbis, priests were reciting Psalm 24, lift up your heads, O ye gates, be lifted up, ye ancient doers, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your hands, O ye gates, lift them up, ye ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, for he is the King of glory. So for him to be the King of glory, he has to be King of all. He has to be King of creation. The Bible says that he was with the Father when the world was created. We all seen products made in Japan, made in China, made in Indonesia. Well, God made everything. He made everything from the smallest atom or subatom to large animals like whales and plateaus and things like that. You are wonderfully and fearfully made, the Bible says. Just look at creation itself. The smallest, even the bombardier beetle is a beetle that has two tubes sticking out of its back that once those chemicals in those tubes are combined, it becomes over 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. So God has created something like that. God has created you and he has created me. Just look at the human body, how intricate the different parts of us are. Psalms 24 is about God making a royal entrance into his holy city. Forgive me bringing my paper up like this, but I have trouble with cataracts. And these are reading glasses, so I have to, in order to see how to read. Jesus is King of all. He's master of creation. God owns everything. Doesn't matter where in the universe you go, God made it. So God made everything, and he is also the King of glory. Psalms 24 talks about that God is in control of everything. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now everything in the entire universe is stamped with the description made by God." So he should be king of creation. He should be king of our lives. Psalms 24 ends with God's entrance into Jerusalem. He is not only the king of the Jews, but he's king of the whole entire earth. In order for there to be a king, there needs to be an audience for those that worship the king. And Psalms 24 says, 24:3, "Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place?" Which is God's holy temple. Put it another way, who has permission to enter the royal court to have audience with the king? How do we have permission to enter the holies of holies? Well, through Jesus Christ, who is king. "He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false, he will receive blessings from the Lord and vindication from God the Savior, such as generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob." Psalms 24, 4, and 5. There are four requirements for meeting. How many of you have ever met royalty or met people important, in life? Sometimes you have to have an audience. If you were going to see the Queen of England, you'd have to have an audience with her or the Pope or whatever. But there's four requirements for meeting the king. Only a person who has both outward obedience and inward integrity, who loves both God and his neighbor, will receive blessings from the Lord. So how can we be justified before God? He is the King of kings and Lord of lords, and we will one day reign with him in heaven. How can we be justified with him? That's why verse 5 of verse 24 is so important. From God his Savior, the person who may ascend God's holy hill still needs a Savior from sin. Life is not justified by his good deeds, but by God's saving work. This is Palm Sunday. So Jesus was welcomed into Jerusalem, but less than a week later, same people that were saying welcome were saying crucify him. So you cannot really put Palm Sunday aside from Easter, because it all goes together, leads up to the crucifixion of Christ. And it's all what Jesus did on the cross. Salvation is a free gift from God. We can't earn it. None of us can earn our way into heaven. Doesn't matter how many good deeds we do. It's by grace that we're saved through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. I can't say, well, I did this, this, and that, so I need to go to heaven. I deserve to go to heaven more than this person does. Right? Gave so much money to the poor or whatever. I deserve to go to heaven. It's not by works, by God's grace, but what Jesus had done on the cross that we can go to heaven. Charles Spurgeon said, it is possible that you're saying, I shall never enter the kingdom of heaven of God, for I have neither clean hands nor a pure heart. Look then to Christ, who has already climbed the holy hill. He has entered as the forerunner to those who trust him. Follow in his footsteps and respond upon his merit. He rides triumphantly into heaven, and you shall ride there too if you trust him. But how can I get the character described, say you? The Spirit of God will give you that. He will create in you a clean heart and a right spirit. Faith in Jesus is the work of the Holy Spirit and all virtues wrapped in it. I was thinking of Jesus being the king. He's had entry into Jerusalem as the king. What about the kingdom of heaven? Once Jesus has had received the sins or the weight of the world upon him, by his stripes we're healed, the Bible says. Once he accepted the sin of the world, by his blood we are saved. You can imagine next week we'll be doing Easter Sunday, where he's celebrating his resurrection from the dead. Can you imagine his entrance into heaven? Now on earth, if the king of England, say, come up to the gates of England, and the heralds announce him, and they say, well, who is this king? Well, they say, the king of England. So they go ahead and open the gates and let him in. Think of Jesus, who conquered death. He had the keys to the hell. And yet he rose. Think of him ascending into heaven, and the angels herald him. We sung the song, Oh for a Thousand Tongues. Can you imagine thousands and thousands of tongues saying, who is this King of Glory? God, Lord Almighty. And they let Jesus in. And it's hard to picture, but Jesus being reconciled with the Father. And him giving Jesus sit down at his right hand. Giving Jesus all the power on earth. It's not enough to recognize that Jesus is king, but he needs to be king in our hearts. Though the Bible does not offer a full description of the royal entrance, we are given some glimpses of his glory. In Philippians, we read that God exalted him, Jesus, to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, Philippians 2:9. The name of the Father gave the Son was the very name mentioned in Psalms 24, the name Lord, which signifies that Jesus Christ is the supreme God and ruler of all. According to Hebrews, when Jesus returned to heaven, he took his seat on a majestic throne after he had provided purification for sins. For the Son sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, Hebrews 1:3. Ephesians summarizes by saying that after God raised Jesus from the dead, he seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given. So Jesus is not only king of the earth, but king in heaven too. But can you imagine what it was like when God, the very Son, having finished work on our salvation on a God-forsaken cross, entered the glories of heaven, where he was welcomed back into the embrace of the Father? In the words of one commentator, these verses picture the scene when, after spoiling the powers of darkness, after abolishing death itself, the resurrected God-man, the Lord, returns to heaven in triumph. And as he approaches the heavenly portals, celestial herald cries out, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and ye be lifted up, the everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in." The angelic watchers within ask, "Who is this King of glory?" They answer, "The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle." So in conclusion, we need to not only know that Jesus is King, and the King, he is King of the universe, but he needs to be King of our hearts. As an individual, we need to have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, Jesus now stands outside the gates. Life is not simply hoping to gain. He is not simply hoping to gain interest. He is demanding it. He is doing it at this very moment, saying, "Open your heart to receive my grace." Jesus is persistent. He refuses to turn away, but remains at the gate saying, "Turn away from sin. Trust in my gospel. Receive me as Savior and King." Some may ask, "Who is this King?" The answer is that he is the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for sinners, who triumphed over death through the empty tomb, and who now reigns in glory as the King of heaven and earth. We need to open our hearts and let the King come in.